And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of January 18th, 2021. Today, we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well, and I'm enthusiastic to be joined again for a second talk with Betsy Rosenberg. Betsy is a world-class solutions-oriented visionary and is a broadcast journalist and environmental media expert. She, since 1997, through her radio shows Eco Talk and The Green Front, she has interviewed the best and brightest in the climate community, including Catherine Hayhoe, Al Gore, Bill McKibben, to name a few. So we are just very privileged to have her coming to speak with us today. So we can't wait to talk to her more.
Thanks for having me. And thank you for all that you do in terms of talking about the media problem.
Well, on that note, we wanted to take a dive. In our last show, we talked a little bit about why climate is not being covered the way it should be in the news. So this show, we wanted to talk a little bit more about the disinformation and misinformation. And of course, the difference there being that misinformation is you don't know that what you're saying is wrong. And disinformation is the intentional and willful spread of information that you know is incorrect in order to promote an agenda or type of propaganda.
Should be against the law, by the way, especially on something that's important.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about where you think the genesis of the disinformation campaign that has come in the United States is?
Well, I had Gabriel Sherman on. He wrote a book called The Loudest Voice in the Room, I think, about the whole right-wing media thing years and years ago. That must have been 2005, so 15 years ago. He's now a regular contributor. The growth of Fox and the Murdoch family, that's been well documented, right? I don't think we have to go over all that. But because they are in bed with industry, and the fossil fuel industry is the most influential of all, early on, they decided, I don't know if there was actually a memo or it was just, implied that they should be on the side of spewing, fossil fuels, which leads to greenhouse gas emissions, which we've known since at least the 1980s, is going to be deadly for people and planet. How they have, no compunction about, disinforming people on something so critically important as to impact the future of humanity. And whenever I say that, I think that must sound so grandiose and ridiculous, but it's not. I'm just quoting scientists who are scared. How often are scientists freaked out, right? And so the fact that they can get away, the right-wing media machine or the denial industrial complex, or DIC, as somebody said, I didn't coin that, somebody else did. The fact that they're getting away with it in 2021 now is criminal. It really is, because there are real world consequences. And as I mentioned earlier, the other half of the problem is mainstream media news outlets that have been, I'd say, chicken. Guess what? News leaders are not news leaders, certainly not when it comes to this. They're laggards, okay? Because think about in every other topic, every other subject, they want to be first in business and technology and breaking news. Why, when it comes to the environment, our environment, the most important, without that, we got nothing. Not so much. They don't really want to lead. And I think they've all been afraid to put the facts on, the scientific truths about what we're facing. And that in that vacuum, and nature abhors a vacuum, nature really abhors this vacuum, because here comes Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson and friends, and up through and including right now, they are still pretending it's not a problem. And they even go farther than that. They mock, climate activists. They're still beating up Al Gore, which is just so boring and old and ridiculous. And they're getting away with it. And that's really my question, is how can they be allowed to get away with it, especially now that the country and the world is seeing the damage, real world damage of these lies. People are gullible. People believe this. So, it works both ways. Either there's a problem, and they worry about things that aren't really problems. Socialism, defunding the police, law and order, when they ignore the actual problems, it's so maddening. But what do I really think? It's wrong. It's just wrong. And it's got to stop.
Well, there's misinformation out there that I guess the question is, do you think that the people who manage the, let's say, cable, right, and just to be specific, a place like Fox, right, are they using climate issues as kind of a political club to maintain power generally, and sort of the, again, I agree with you, you say the planet's ending, you sound like it's hyperbole, right? But we've reached this, I mean, is Fox just maintaining the societal order where certain people are on top and certain people are on bottom? And that's the goal. That's what they're most concerned about. Are they protecting the funders, like the Koch, not the Koch, but the Murdoch family? I mean, why are they afraid? I mean,
they're all funding it, yep.
I mean, what's the motivation, though? I mean, it gets into all questions about sort of epistemological, you know, end of the Enlightenment. People don't want to know. They want to believe in fairy tales because it's more comforting. So the problem lies not so much that Fox is just feeding what people want.
But here's the irony.
Here's where do you irony. Go with that?
They're fear mongers, but there's real reason to fear climate change and oceans warming and trees being burned down in the rainforest. That's really something to be afraid of and should activate and motivate everybody on the planet.
Only
those who eat, breathe, or drink. Nobody else need to be concerned.
If mongering fear was their objective, right, to make money, they could do that by describing, you know, the consequences of climate change.
They've taken the tack to whip up fear about things that actually aren't a problem.
Right. And then my question is, why is that?
Why is that?
Why do they pick that? Because, I mean, I'm just sort of reversing. You could imagine a network that spends all of its time describing the end of the world and how you really ought to watch this TV show because so you'll know more about how the world is ending kind of thing, right, to make money. But clearly there is some other agenda that drives this stuff. And why does Hannity stay telling this particular set of lies?
My personal view is that, frankly, I'm very partisan. I have nothing to hide. I'm a progressive. And I think, frankly, the Republicans for a long time have not had much to offer. They've been the party of no, and they're the party of fear. And this is one thing that they've done to spread fear about liberals and radicals. If I had $10 for every time Hannity called me a liberal and a radical, and then all the times I'm not watching when they're calling anybody, they don't like that. Talk about radical. Look at what happened at the Capitol last week. I mean, my goodness, we're not patriots because we're concerned about the planet. Really? What about no planet is unpatriotic? It's just mind-boggling. And I think they've just taken the stupid side, and they have nothing really there's no foundation there for real content and real, you know.
But they're doing what they're doing to preserve the order. To preserve the status
quo. Power.
That's
it's about power. It's they about want power. To preserve Republican power. And they'll do it at any damn cost, including their own kids and grandkids. And to me, that should be a crime. Absolutely. They should not be on the air. They should not be getting paid tens of millions of dollars and rewarded for lying and disinforming the public, especially on something so important. Some things are not reversible. Some things are too late, as Obama said. And we are becoming quickly, we're going into the too late to turn this around zone.
So there's certainly been many analogies of sort of disinformation to the anti-tobacco campaign as paralleling into climate stuff. Do you see any continuing parallels to COVID and election hoaxes? I mean, do they all serve the same purpose? Are they similar? Are they the same people? I mean, what are the, and I guess I'm thinking, so again, back to the societal, why are people absorbing this and accepting stuff that, you know, a little investigation would show is not true? You know,
I think that also taps into the whole, you know, we're Americans, we're individualist, you know, the libertarian aspect. It's about no government interference. And clearly, but then along comes this vaccine distribution. And guess what? The government doesn't have enough resources to distribute it. But these are all the people who are complaining about that are the same ones saying we don't want any government services. So the hypocrisy is epic, off the charts. We need to invent a new word, right? But getting back to the parallels between the fossil fuel industry, the whole anti-mask movement, downplaying COVID, downplaying climate change. If they really acknowledge that the problems, just say climate for a small one, needed government intervention and help, that would mean that they'd have to change their whole outlook because they're all about anti-government. But they've taken that so far to such a ridiculous degree because, yes, anyone can Google climate science, but we're now in the whole truth depends on who you're listening to, and facts are not necessarily facts. So the really sad, frustrating as heck thing is that just as we're getting to the point, and we thought 2020 was going to be the year of climate clarity, it'll finally be our turn to let people know what's going on and what we can do about it. And then we know what happened with COVID, which, by the way, has ecological drivers behind it, as I'm sure you know, which are not getting covered. Like, people may not care about conservation or climate change. Who wants more pandemics? But that, again, that aspect, because it's sort of the environmental issue, is kind of hush-hush and only talked about in kind of progressive media places. So I think it's something that they did for power, for money, for ratings that is sleazy enough, but taken to the degree that they've taken it to, including what's just happened with the, you know, election fraud sham, it's just dangerous. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens now that people are starting to see the real dangers of mis and disinformation and how people have believed things that are just completely false. And climate is the first thing we should look at. And I still don't see enough of that. Like, yeah, look what they've done on lying about the environment.
Yeah. To follow up on that. In the article of impeachment against Trump, disinformation came up as part of that, right? The disinformation that he put up there out there about the election results. And I wonder if you think that perhaps that will give us some leverage, you know, to leverage the damage done by that disinformation about the election and COVID to sort of mount a strong attack on disinformation in general. And what might that attack look like?
Well, that, you know, buckle up, because that's the interesting part, right? And let's hope if 2020 was the year of clarity or not, 2021 is the year of consequences and, you know, course correction, because Lord knows we have a lot to undo quickly. So in a way, like, even though this is a really dark period, it's also kind of exciting, right? Because I don't think it's going to be as easy for them to fool people and for people to just take it as fact, because we've seen the consequences in another area, not necessarily related to environmental issues. But I think we need to keep bringing it back to that, because for whatever reason, that piece has just not been, no one sued them for that. And they've sued over the COVID disinformation. Why is climate any less important when it's the most important? And that's the irony, you know, it's just like, it's crazy making, because it's the most important story and it gets overlooked. It's always just under the surface. And it was almost like when the networks would do a story, it was like an afterthought, like almost like they were just doing it because they had to. They've never really been committed to educating and informing the public. And I do think that's a role for news media.
So you just started a question in my head. If the Dominion voting machine company can sue Fox and get a reaction, what would be the legal avenue for suing, just to pick a word out of the, you know, Fox News? I mean, would that be the mechanism that gets their attention? Because, I mean, it's true. It seems like this overpowering, overwhelming force that, I mean, how are you going to stop Fox News from spewing its stuff? I mean, what do you do to get at them?
I think we absolutely should file a lawsuit. I will be in front of it. I'm clearly outspoken. I'm trying to find a lawyer who gets it. And so far, I haven't been able to. They're all afraid of First Amendment. I'm sorry, there are exceptions to the First Amendment. And if this isn't one, why not? So if nothing else, you know, we might not win, but at least it would educate people on what they're spewing and the danger of that. And why is that okay when other things like Dominion and COVID, you know, that's legitimate. This is even more legitimate.
So what's the First Amendment argument? What's the argument that says this is not speech that should be allowed to talk about, to lie about climate change?
I think because it's life and death. I don't know.
But I mean, I've heard an analogy to
the COVID lawsuits, because it was doing harm to people, that should be an exception. And I think that's the whole COVID argument. And that lawsuit got thrown out, but it was more on a technicality, but that got me more motivated to pursue this. Okay. Because it is life and death consequences. Absolutely. And again,
so if you say something on the air that is knowingly false in which people are hurt.
Yes.
You would argue that you may have the free speech right to say that, but you must pay the penalty, the pay for the harm.
Here's how I connect those dots. Okay. If people, like many of the people who lost their homes and even loved ones in fires and hurricanes, they probably some of them are voted for Trump, Republicans, because they have not had those dots connected. Okay. So if you've got Fox and friends spewing garbage about how nothing to worry about with climate, it's just the crazy radical liberals dismissing it, downplaying it, diminishing it, they're going to not factor that into their voting. So they might go ahead and vote for a science denier like Trump, who then gets into office and rolls back 100 plus environmental regulations, which does real harm and damage, which adds fuel to the fire of hurricanes, worse infernos. I'm from the Bay Area. We never had 80 mile an hour winds growing up there. That's what fuels these fires and the droughts and the dry tinder. So there's real world consequences to electing people who are not only not leading, but are taking us back at a time when we can least afford it. So to me, that's a direct connection between disinformation leading to people not thinking, it's not even factoring into their voting choices. And it's not just president, it's at the state level, regional, local. And so then we get people who don't know or don't want to know, and they cause damage. They blatantly, just gleefully almost, just horrendously, you know, roll things back. We can so not afford to have less efficient cars. I mean, I started a Don't Be Fueled Mothers Against Clean Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles. 2002, we went into Iraq, and that was about oil. And I wanted to call it MAG, Mothers Against Gas Guzzling. And we were educating soccer moms about the need to demand that the big three automakers make more fuel efficient cars because it's costing us lives in Iraq. That was back in 2002. John Kerry and Joe Lieberman had taken a bipartisan piece of legislation forward to improve CAFE standards, and it was defeated. And that got me fueled up, fired up, and we were clearly way ahead of our time. So there's consequences to knowledge and lack of knowledge.
Well, that is a conservative accountability, I think, is a very conservative principle. So if we apply a little accountability to people who tell lies, maybe that's a good thing, right?
That's another irony. These conservatives who don't want to conserve the planet and resources. Don't get me started on that one.
Yeah. Anyway, we need to stop there. What we'll do is we'll put up links on the blog to some of the stuff we talked about. The blog will be at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have a question or a suggestion about a future show, please send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what's good, what's bad, and what we ought to be talking about. Of course, you can listen to the show on your smartphone using any of the podcast distribution apps. And since you're probably already doing that, my request to you is please ask your friend to listen to a show on their favorite podcast distribution app. We want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. And we want to close where we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. So, Mariah, thank you so much for being here.
Always a treat.
Betsy, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again next week. Bye-bye.
Very cool.